It's time now for Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter, coming to you from the International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. International Christian Fellowship is a Bible-believing church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God and prays for you and your needs. Pastor Peter is bringing the message of salvation, healing, and deliverance throughout the world. Now, here is Pastor Peter.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 1.
Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward.
When you say giving alms can be a charitable thing, or giving to poor, and we see most of the time, everywhere, when the people, rich people, give to somebody, you might have seen they make a big check, like maybe 2 feet by 3 feet, big check, and they will say, this is the check from somebody. So they want to take some name and fame, and that's why they are doing big, big check, they write, and giving them some kind of respect. Some of the Christian people doing too. If you are listening to some telethon, if somebody gives a big amount of money, they say, let's have a drum roll. They will announce that person's money, 10,000, 15,000, 5,000. But somebody gives you $5 or $2, they don't announce. In India, when there is a wedding, there will be two parties, bridegroom's party and bride's party. And people will be bringing gifts to give it to the bride, give it to the bridegroom. So they actually do some kind of trumpet sound or some kind of drum roll and then tell the people, wait, everybody listen. This person gave this much, this person gave this much, and they keep on announcing and to the people. And so the Word of God is saying, if you do that way in the church or the street or any occasions, if you're giving just to people to see it, then you already got your reward on earth. And God is not going to give you reward. Giving something to somebody, you should have a love. People give money to Africa and some other countries, poor countries, and we think those people really love them. But they are not giving by love, they're just giving by name. The born-again people, they're giving from their heart. This verse we are talking about, not about born-again Christian. Let's read the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 8 and 9.
Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good.
Here is saying when you're doing something, giving in charity or helping somebody, do it with a love, not with a getting reward or somebody has to say something good about you. And that's the time somebody gives. Sometimes people give because if he gave $10, I'm going to give 20. If he give 100, I'll give 200. And so the people just want name and fame. That's the only way they're giving to charities. And the Word of God says they already got their reward. Go back to Matthew chapter 6, verse 3.
But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly.
So here he's saying, even though you are giving, you give with the right hand, let not left hand know. You're giving, your left hand will be knowing, but that's how it is. Just think you have a wallet. You take the money from the wallet, and you're counting with both hands. Let the other people see. If you want to give something before the offering comes, you should have decided how much you're giving and put it in an envelope or take it from your pocket and put it. When both hands are working, somebody's watching. So he said, let not your left hand also know. He says, our God stays in secret place. You cannot see him, but he watches over you. And he says, when you give secretly, that means nobody sees, your second hand doesn't see, and you give it to the Lord, he says, God has already seen, and he will give you the gift or whatever you need openly. That means other people will come to know what God has done. I always say, it's not recorded in the Bible, but I feel in my spirit, Jesus Christ was watching who is giving money. And he saw one widow putting two mites, and he said to his disciple, she gave more than anybody else. The disciple starts saying, how come you say this? These people are giving thousands of dollars here, and that lady gave only two mites. But the Jesus Christ says, she gave all her, means this is what she had, this is what her bank balance was, and this is what she had in her house. How Jesus came to know? He didn't ask the lady. He didn't ask, did you give all? But he knew from her heart. He said she gave everything what she had. Other people are giving maybe 5%, 2%, 10%, but she gave 100%. And so there is a story in the Bible. Jesus Christ came to one village. He came to the village at the gate, and they were just taking the dead body, and the widow was crying. And so I was just thinking, why Jesus Christ went to that village and that gate nobody invited, and here the widow is crying and her son is dead. So I thought to myself, if the God says you give secretly, I'll give you reward openly. So she put two mites, not even anybody should see it, but Jesus saw it. And when her son died, she might have said, Lord, I have nobody. My son is dying. Maybe I give it to the Lord. Maybe my son will live or whatever. And son died. So when Jesus Christ comes, raise the son, give it back to her. That's the way God does. Jesus saw she gave all. And then her son died. Jesus comes to that town, that gate, before they can take him to the burial ground, he stopped them and gave her son back. So the word of God is saying, when you give it to somebody who cannot pay it back to you, that means that you're giving to God. Go to the book of Luke, chapter 14, and start reading from verse 12 to 14.
Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee. For thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just.
Here it is saying, if you want to give it to somebody, or if you want to invite somebody to your house for dinner, don't invite your friends, rich neighbors, or your co-workers and things like that. Call the blind people, call the lame, call the people who never ate that kind of food, and give them, and so they will be satisfied, they will bless you, and God will bless you, because they cannot invite you back. And those the kind of people you should invite. When I was in India, I would go and find somebody on the street and bring them to church and give them food and things like that. God is in secret. He's watching you, and he will give you reward openly. Go back to Matthew chapter 6, starting from verse 5.
And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly.
Father who lives in secret place, he will reward you openly. Here the word of God is saying, you are not impressing other people, you are praying to God. When you're going to prayer, he's giving the example of people praying in synagogue or church, or some people pray on the street. Somebody says, I never saw people praying on the street. But you saw Muslim people. When the time comes, they put their shawl or whatever they have, or rug, and they pray in the airport, they pray in the hospital, they pray on the street. The word of God says, you got your already reward. When you praying, he said, go to the prayer closet and close the door, and you pray secretly, and then God will bless you or answer you openly. Okay, Matthew 6, verse 7.
But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking.
Who are these people doing repetition? Do you know? There are Hindu people. They have chanting. They have some kind of beads, rosary kind of beads. They say then God's name that time. And they repeat that thousands of times. If you repeat that name 10,000 times, you might get blessed or this and that. So they are doing it. And then the Muslim people have rosary also. But from this, we know they are doing some kind of repetition. Catholic people are doing it. But he says they are doing repetition, using the same word thousands of times, thinking that God will hear their prayer. If person is in a jungle, tiger or lion or vicious animal comes to them, they are not going to get the rosary and start saying something. Prayer will come from their heart. And that's the way the word of God is saying, the prayer should come from our heart. And you should be praying alone. Doesn't mean that we should not be praying in together, but every person should have personal relationship with God. They have to take some time alone with God. Many people do not have that kind of time. Go to your closet means go to your room and close the door behind you. You remember Elisha? When the lady's child was dead, the word of God says he went to the room and closed the door, prayed with that child, and God heard his prayer. The Lord is trying to say, when we praying secretly, we are not showing somebody how much you love the Lord or how much you know how to pray. He says God has to see your heart and your heart's desires, then God will answer your prayer. Matthew 6:8.
Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him.
You should not be like them. Like them means what? The people who make big prayers and long prayers, people to see it. He said, you should not be doing all of these things. And if you love the Lord, you will be concentrating what I'm going to pray and what I'm going to say. Here he says, before you pray, your heavenly Father knows what is your needs are. So why are we praying? Some time comes that you want to pray something, but you cannot pray. You know what? When you are very, very exhausted, or some tragedy happened in your house, somebody died or somebody got sick or something, and your mind is bombarded. Words will not come out of your mouth, but you want to pray. What you're doing, you are crying. You're crying or you saying some words doesn't make any meaning. Only God knows what you're praying, but the person who is standing in front of you will not know it. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 26 and 27.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered.
Your heart is broken. You don't know how to pray. you don't feel like praying. Do you know sometimes people have a lot of pain and so much pain, and somebody said, why don't you pray? They cannot pray. They cannot read the Bible. Even though they want to read, they want to pray, they cannot pray. At that particular time, if you are a child of God, God knows your heart. And he says, God knows what you need. Verse 27.
And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
You are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the words are not coming out of your mouth, but you want to talk to God. Start speaking in tongue and praising God and glorifying God. God knows what you want, and he knows the desires of your heart. That's why it is very important somebody to fill with the Holy Spirit and start speaking in tongue. God understands the tongue. Devil doesn't understand. The person standing beside you, he doesn't understand. Only you know and God knows what you're praying. Go to the Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18.
Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
See, here he's saying, when you're praying in the Spirit. And you speaking in tongue and praising God, and you saying in your spirit, Lord, I'm praying for my husband, I'm praying for my daughter, I'm praying for my son. They don't know you're praying for them. God knows. So you can pray in the Spirit, and you have those thoughts before you sit for prayer, and God will know what you're praying, because the Word of God says, Spirit of God knows what you're praying. That's why he says, whatever you want to pray, before you pray, God in heaven knows what you're praying, and he knows your heart. But that doesn't mean all the time you keep on speaking in tongue and never pray in the regular language. You have to pray in the regular language. You have to pray in the tongue. Both way is blessed. Okay, go back to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, start from verse 9.
After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Disciples asked Jesus how to pray, so he gave the model prayer. First he says, when you pray to the Father. Our Father lives in heaven. He lives in secret place. So he lives in a holy place, and you praying to your Father, this is the way you pray. And so Jesus Christ, the first one to teaching his disciples, there is a Father in heaven. I am his son. He sent the son to this world. And then he said, I'll go and send the Holy Spirit. So Trinity, Jesus Christ is the first one to explaining to his disciples. He is saying to his disciples, our Father is in heaven, and he is holy, so his name is holy. Verse 10.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Now these people, his disciples and Israeli people, they were not free. They were under the Roman government. So they were always thinking that somebody will come and set us free and give our kingdom back. So many people thought Jesus Christ will be the one who will deliver them from these people and give them the kingdom. But here he's in the beginning, he starts saying, we want God's kingdom coming to this earth. That means our God is holy, and we want to live like God. And we want to do the will of God on this earth. And so Jesus Christ was saying, whatever is in heaven, we want to live like heavenly people on earth. These people didn't understand at that particular time. But once we are born again, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, we are lifted up in heavenly places, and we are sitting at the right hand of Jesus Christ. How it happened? Because once we are born again, the kingdom of God opens for us. We became the citizen of heaven. Please read.
and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
We are already citizens of heaven. How it happened? Jesus Christ washed us, cleansed us with his precious blood. Now we are holy people. In spirit, we are sitting in heavenly places. Right now, even we are on this earth. So Jesus Christ is giving a teaching to these disciples. At that time, it might have gone over their head, didn't understand anything, did the prayer like a parrot. Jesus Christ told them, they are doing it, but they didn't understand at that particular time what Jesus Christ was saying. Verse 11, Matthew 6:11.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Now, this is what Jesus Christ was teaching his disciples. When you go, don't carry food with you. Don't carry bag with you. God will provide. And then they had the example before them. God did not tell Moses, when we live in Egypt, let's take some grain, take some food, because we are going for journey. We don't know how many years of journey. If they wanted, they would have taken truckload of food coming from there, because they had the, animals and everything if they wanted. Because they got thousands and thousands of tons of silver and gold, but no food. And so God provided them when they were on the road. And so here God was teaching the children of Israel, as well as now Jesus Christ is teaching his disciples, we should not be storing food for years. There are some people keep the food for a long period of time. And now also there are some people storing the food and going in the mountain, and they're thinking maybe Antichrist will come, so we will stay in the cave, and they are storing the food. I believe my God is all-sufficient God. He will provide me food for daily food. I don't have to get crazy and worry about 10 years water or 10 years food. Because here's the word of God says, he taught us, give us this day our daily bread. Means this day you give, tomorrow comes, tomorrow you give. And so the word of God is saying, one day at a time. Verse 12.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
As we forgive our debtors. That means if you do not forgive others, you're not going to get forgiven. That's what he is teaching. If you want to have forgiveness, then you forgive others. Verse 13.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Now here he says, lead us not into temptation. But the temptation is like a trial. You go through the fiery trial. So he said, please do not let us go through the fiery trials. But he said, but deliver us from evil. And if you read in a New King James, he says, deliver us from evil one. That's the devil. Devil is the one brings all kinds of trials to us. He is the one gives all kinds of problems. So we should be praying. We don't want to go into devil's hand. We don't want devil to tempting us, because devil is coming as an antichrist. So we do not want to be there when the antichrist comes. That should be our prayer. Lord, we don't want to be here when the antichrist comes, because the evil one is going to have his kingdom on this earth before he comes. We don't want to be here. So deliver us, or keep us safe from the evil one's hand. That's the devil. Verse 13, please read one more time.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
So what he's trying to say, we don't want to stay in the devil's kingdom. We don't want to stay with him. So we want to be in the kingdom of God. Teaching the disciples, you have to learn our God is a powerful God. He is greater than the devil. What's wrong if you take the 66 number? We will have food. Devil will not kill us. And then, Lord, I'm sorry. I made a mistake because I was so weak to not to refuse the devil. because there are some other people are teaching. He says, we will never be perfect. We will always have sin. God knows our weaknesses, and so we will be always doing something wrong. And they'll be teaching you, this says God is always forgives you and he loves you unconditionally. He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For whom? Whosoever believeth in him. That person will not be perished. God so loved the world to die on the cross of Calvary. So all people automatically will be saved. It didn't say. That's not unconditional love. There's a condition. If you want to go to heaven, if you want to be forgiven, then you believe in Jesus Christ. That's what it is. And so, people are giving this false idea. There is a scripture, we were yet sinner, Jesus Christ died for us. That means what he's trying to say? Jesus died for sinners. Now, he already died for you, but you have to receive him. He died for the whole world. So everyone, if they come to Christ and say, Lord, I believe that you died for me, and so I receive your forgiveness, then they will be forgiven. Automatically, nobody is going to get forgiven. Because if you read in St. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 and 18, if you read, it says, if you deny Christ, if you don't believe, he's already condemned. Read from 16 to 18.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
When somebody reads, God sent his Son to die on the cross of Calvary, so he did not send Jesus to condemn me, so I'm already saved. I don't have to do anything because he sent his Son. He's not going to condemn me. And that's the kind of false idea people get. Read the verse 18.
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
See, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is already condemned. Jesus Christ came into this world. We were sinners. He died for us, but automatically salvation doesn't come. Even they say salvation is free gift, but we have to receive that gift by faith. He said if you deny him, if you don't believe him, you are already condemned because you do not believe the Jesus Christ who is the Son of God. God is saying, I sacrifice my Son for you, and if you do not want to believe him, then I'm not going to take you to heaven. Simple as that. All other religious people are saying, why should we go through Christian church or Christian belief? God is not that cruel that he will send us to hell. God is saying, I love you. But I love you through my Son. I gave my Son for you. And if you don't believe him, you're condemned. That's why Jesus Christ says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Without me, no one can go to the Father. So he is teaching us, kingdom is belong to God, all power is belong to God, all glory is belong to God.
You've been listening to Jesus is the Answer with Pastor Peter of International Christian Fellowship in Northeast Philadelphia. If this program has been a blessing to you, please let Pastor Peter know. Write to Pastor Peter at Post Office Box 5033, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19111. Again, that's Pastor Peter, Box 5033, Philadelphia, PA, 19111. Pastor Peter and his prayer partners are taking your calls right now. The number is 215-342-3759. Again, that's 215-342-3759. You can also send email to icfprayerline@comcast.net. Every Sunday at 11 a.m., International Christian Fellowship has a worship service with communion and healing service. You can find more information at www.internationalchristianfellowship.org. This is a faith ministry. Your prayers and financial support are greatly appreciated. And please remember to tune in next time for Jesus is the Answer.